Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
When I wake up every morning, I look over the side of my bed, and there are my little guys standing there, and they're eager to crawl in the bed. They bring me my cell phone because they want me to show them dinosaur videos. I've been watching lots of dinosaur videos. Top 10 facts about Allosaurus. The British voice comes on, the narrator. Here are your top 10 facts about Allosaurus. I'm like, this is going to get interesting. But I've learned a lot. I think it's interesting. And I think you'll find it interesting, too, here on Free For All Friday for the Council of Trent podcast. Welcome. I'm staff apologist Trent Horn. And on the Council of Trent on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we like to talk about theology, apologetics, defending the Catholic faith. But on Fridays, we just like to have fun. I'll talk about anything that I find interesting, because I bet you'll find it interesting as well. And I find dinosaurs to be interesting. If you're like me, if you're around my age group, you had a big nostalgia hit when you think about Jurassic Park. That might have ignited your love for dinosaurs. If you grew up in the 90s, you were either that kid or you knew the kid who had the Jurassic Park lunchbox, had the dinosaur backpack, dinosaur trapper keeper. Do you remember trapper keepers? Here's a question. Someone leave it in the comments at trenthornpodcast.com, where if you're a premium subscriber, you can leave comments in our dedicated community. I don't know. My kids are homeschooled right now. I know kids do back to school shopping soon if they're going to even have school anymore. Do kids still use trapper keepers, or did they invent something else? I remember trapper keepers being the big hot ticket item when I was a kid. They had all different kinds, and you definitely had the Jurassic Park trapper keeper. So Jurassic Park ignited a love for dinosaurs for lots of people, including myself, though it's not entirely accurate. Gee whiz, a book. Now, the book Jurassic Park by Michael Crichton actually cares a lot about the science, and the film is somewhat faithful to it, but they take a lot of artistic liberties in the film series, especially in their depiction of dinosaurs. We're going to talk about the dinosaurs today, especially the dinosaurs you may not have heard of as much. I mean, there are, of course, the most famous guys, T-Rex, Stegosaurus, Triceratops. When I was a kid and I would go to Disneyland, one of my favorite things, when I was like 7 or 8 years old, you'd ride the train around Disneyland. And there was a final segment from the Tomorrowland station to Main Street. And that was my favorite segment. It's every kid's favorite. Because you go into a tunnel and you look at a Grand Canyon diorama, then there's a thunderstorm, and then you go back in time to the time of the dinosaurs. And there's these huge audio animatronic dinosaurs. And at the very end, you have T-Rex fighting Stegosaurus as a volcano is exploding behind them. And as a kid, you're like, this is awesome! So it is awesome. But we're going to focus on dinosaurs you may not have heard of as much. First one up, Spinosaurus. Okay, Spinosaurus lived in the Cretaceous period about 200 to 145 million years ago. He's the largest land predator of all time. You might have thought T-Rex is the largest land predator of all time. No, Spinosaurus was bigger than the T-Rex. He was 50 feet long, 50 feet, weighed about 7 to 20 tons. Now, paleontologists didn't have as many fossils to reconstruct Spinosaurus, especially a while ago. So some of the artistic renderings, older renderings of Spinosaurus, are incorrect. Namely, they give him a T-Rex head instead of his longer crocodilian snout that he used for eating fish. So the older renderings are funny. It's got like the stumpy T-Rex head and then the rest of his long body with that iconic sail on his spine, hence the name Spinosaurus. The sail was huge. I think 6 foot tall sail. And scientists believe it was either used maybe for as a sexual display to attract mates, or it might have even been used for heat dissipation. But his diet consisted mainly of fish. He wasn't a violent predator. In Jurassic Park 3, Spinosaurus is the big bag dinosaur. So Jurassic Park 1 and Lost World, aka Jurassic Park 2, T-Rex is the big bad dinosaur. And they said, we got to shake it up a little bit and get an even bigger, badder dinosaur. So they pitched Spinosaurus, who is bigger than T-Rex, but he was not a vicious land predator like T-Rex. He probably only ate fish. Michael Horner, who is a paleontologist that consulted on the films, said that he only ate fish and he likely couldn't have left the water. So he may not have even been a true land predator, though a lot of encyclopedias and articles on Spinosaurus still say he was the largest land predator. Horner says, the battle rages on with sixth graders. He said, I get almost hate mail that says Spinosaurus couldn't take down a T-Rex. And I agree with them. So he's the big bad guy in Jurassic Park 3. And Jurassic Park 3 is not a great film. It has a terrible anticlimactic ending. It's just not good. I appreciate they brought back the character Alan Grant. I think he's played by Sam Neill. in the film. William H. Macy is in it. He does a good job. I think Taya Leone is his wife. But otherwise, Jurassic Park 3 is easily one of the worst in the series. I even prefer Jurassic World over Jurassic Park 3. That's probably just because Chris Pratt is in Jurassic World, and I love almost everything that Chris Pratt is in. But he's in there, and there's actually a scene where Spinosaurus is following them around, and everybody ends up at this, they're split up, which happens, of course, and they reunite at this fence barrier, and they're following what they think is a cell phone call, and you know, they think, oh, it's the other guys, that's their cell phone. Like, we don't have the cell phone. Well, what do you mean? Well, so-and-so had it until he got eaten. And they look back, and there's just the Spinosaurus standing there. It's so goofy. He's just standing there looking at them like some golden retriever, like, hey guys, what's going on? Although every time he walks, wouldn't that have surprised them? Watch the pitch meeting for Jurassic Park 3. Pitch Meeting is a wonderful series on YouTube where it imagines popular movies between a producer and a director pitching it, and they skewer the movies and show where the scripts don't make sense. So they talk about this scene and why it doesn't actually make sense.
So what happens next?
Well, everybody reunites at this big fence barrier thing because they all heard the ringtone from Paul's satellite phone.
Okay.
But it turns out that Paul doesn't even have his phone. The Spinosaurus swallowed it, and he's just standing there looking at them.
How does this dinosaur sneak up on them? Doesn't he shake the ground with every step like the T-Rex?
Every time, sir. Except this time, because I want the characters to be surprised.
Fair enough. So why is it still chasing them?
Well, I mean, it's a predator, sir. It wants to eat.
Right, but it just killed a massive T-Rex, right? That's food.
Yeah, well, he's not in the mood for T-Rex meat. I don't know what to tell you.
A very picky eater.
I don't know what to tell you, sir, but I'm going to need you to get all the way off my back about that. Oh, let me get off that. If you want to be entertained, I highly recommend the Pitch Meeting series on YouTube and the Honest Trailers. I find them hilarious. Okay, the next two are not technically dinosaurs, but I think they should count anyways because they come from the time of the dinosaurs. The first one is Deinosuchus from the late Cretaceous period. He's not a dinosaur. He's a large crocodile, an ancestor to modern crocodiles and alligators, but he was a monster. He was 40 feet long, 39 feet total in length. The largest saltwater crocodile today on record is Lolong, who is 20 feet long. But imagine you go and you saw a 40-foot-long crocodile coming at you. Even on land, that would be terrifying. I remember when I was a kid, I go to GameWorks to the arcade and play the Jurassic Park arcade game where you were like imagining like you're riding in the Jeep and you would step inside, close the curtains, and you had your gun that you were shooting, and the dinosaurs were rushing at you, the raptors, the 1990s graphics. But there was this boss fight where you had to fight Deinosuchus, and you were in your Jeep on a pontoon bridge, and Deinosuchus was swimming under the water, and that would leap up at you, and it's like, ah, you have to like shoot all of the teeth before he chomps you to bits. So I know that my sons really like Deinosuchus a lot and love videos related to him. There's a great video that talks about Spinosaurus dealing with Deinosuchus because Deinosuchus was so big that he would actually hunt other dinosaurs that would come to drink water or come to hunt at watering holes. So when you look at Deinosuchus, actually, it had large, robust teeth built for crushing, and its back was covered with thick hemispherical osteoderm. So it was like an armored tank with giant teeth. One study indicated Deinosuchus may have lived for up to 50 years, growing at a rate similar to that of modern crocodilians, but maintaining this growth over a much longer time, hence why they could become 40 feet long. Deinosuchus weighed 9 tons. So, I mean, there could be Spinosauruses, their range of Spinosaurus is 7 to 20 tons. So it's possible that Spinosaurus may have been scared to go up against Deinosuchus, that they weigh the same, and Deinosuchus has these armored plates that Spinosaurus can't really bite through, because Spinosaurus didn't have that much bite power. It was more about just getting fish in shallow water. And in fact, some T-Rex fossils even show Deinosuchus bite marks on them. So the T-Rex is near the watering hole, and Deinosuchus comes after him to grab its leg and take him down. Fearsome predator you don't want to mess with. The next one is Mosasaurus from the late Cretaceous period. Mosasaurus was not a dinosaur. Mosasaurus was a lizard species discovered in the Meuse River in Holland, hence the name Mosasaurus. According to one article, reptiles such as crocodiles and lizards have legs that sprawl out to the side. Their thigh bones are almost parallel to the ground. They walk and run with a side-to-side motion. So that's how Deinosuchus move, Mosasaurus, as he would be swimming. Dinosaurs, on the other hand, stand with their legs positioned directly under their bodies. A hole in the hip socket permits this upright stance. This posture allows dinosaurs to run faster and with greater endurance than other reptiles that are the same size. Mosasaurus was big. Mosasaurus is about 50 feet long, weighed 15 tons. Mosasaurus became most famous recently in Jurassic World. So in the movie Jurassic World, they have like this SeaWorld type attraction where it's like a big aquatic stadium and they feed a great white shark to Mosasaurus, and Mosasaurus jumps out. That Mosasaurus in the film is much larger. The Mosasaurus is a big dinosaur, of course. Mosasaurus had been 50 feet long, but at the end of Jurassic World, spoiler alert, there's a big fight, and my youngest son, Thomas, who's three, loves this scene. I show it to him every morning. It's T-Rex versus Indominus Rex, the genetically engineered T-Rex-Raptor hybrid. It's like T-Rex, Raptor, jungle tree frog, cuttlefish, you know, BD Wong in the film talks about that. T-Rex versus Indominus Rex versus Velociraptor. Jurassic World is not a great film, but that is a great scene in the film. And they're all fight. Then Raptor and T-Rex have teamed up, set aside their differences, and have now teamed up. Because you remember, they actually, Raptors and T-Rex fought in the end of Jurassic Park. They set aside their differences to go up against Indominus Rex. They fight Indominus Rex. The Raptor actually comes and saves the T-Rex from Indominus Rex, artistic license. And then they fight and push Indominus Rex to the edge of the Mosasaurus tank in Jurassic World. And Indominus Rex is like, I just always wish that they should just do a cut of Jurassic Park where they have the dinosaurs' voices and we just hear what they're thinking. And Indominus Rex is like, you're not going to beat me. I'm bigger than any of you. I could do this all day. And then Mosasaurus jumps out of his tank over the fence, grabs Spinosaurus, is like, oh, you got me, and pulls him into the tank. The problem is that Mosasaurus grabbing Indominus Rex would have been about the same size or a little smaller. So in order to make that seem climactic, where Mosasaurus, this giant, comes out, grabs Indominus Rex, pulls him into the water, the Mosasaurus in Jurassic World is about 84 feet long, 85 feet long, far larger than any real Mosasaurus that would have actually existed. Other facts about Mosasaurus: he breathed air like a sea turtle. So it wasn't a fish. It was a reptile. They have to breathe air, hold their breath, and then swim underwater. Their diet consisted of ammonites, bony fish, sea turtles, plesiosaurs, and even seabirds. You know, a bird above the water, reach up, grab them. It appears they could eat whatever they wanted. They were a very, very large predator. Mosasaurus were sleek, streamlined, and fast. They had flipper-like paddles for arms and legs and a tail fin. They propelled themselves by mainly moving the large fin on their tail in a side-to-side motion covered in smooth scales, which were very dark in color. Oh, speaking of the color of the dinosaurs, more research is showing that T-Rex might have had like purple skin or even pink skin and feathers. So when they were coming up with the dinosaurs, and you'll see this here for Velociraptor, they told Steven Spielberg, well, I think they actually had feathers and would have been brightly colored. And Spielberg said, no, we're not having brightly colored feathered dinosaurs. That wouldn't be scary. So you wouldn't do that. Imagine T-Rex in the film covered in feathers, actually brightly colored. So Barney the dinosaur, Barney the purple dinosaur, I love you, you love me. Ugh. It's actually not that far off from the scientific record to have a skin color possibly approaching that. All right, here's our next one, though. Still a famous one from Jurassic Park you loved, the Velociraptor. Oh, man, when I saw Jurassic Park, the Velociraptor, that thing scared me as a kid. When it's in the kitchen scene and it's hunting the kids in the kitchen, I mean, that is still a masterful scene in suspense and horror. I mean, that is just amazing what Spielberg pulled off there. And so the Velociraptor scared me as a kid. And so one of my favorite scenes in Jurassic Park is when Dr. Alan Grant is at the archaeological dig, and he's explaining Velociraptor at the beginning of the film. And a great way to start the film and get it going, though this is after the Velociraptor eats the guy at the Jurassic Park loading dock. Shoot her! Shoot her! It's a great movie. You gotta watch it again for old time's sake. Alan Grant is at an archaeological dig, and he's looking at the Velociraptor fossil, and he's pointing it out to everyone on a monitor. They're using an X-ray machine to look into the ground. They say, look, there he is. And he's explaining how Velociraptor was more like modern-day birds and how he would hunt. And this punk little kid is like, that doesn't look scary. It's like a six-foot turkey. Well, look, a six-foot turkey would be terrifying. Imagine if you saw a six-foot turkey. I'd be freaked out if that just a turkey came into my office. I'd be like, what is that thing doing here? But this is the scene, and it is just priceless how Dr. Grant explains to this kid why you should be afraid of Velociraptor.
You stare at him, and he just stares right back. And that's when the attack comes, not from the front, but from the side. The other two raptors, you didn't even know were there. Because Velociraptor's a pack hunter, you see. He uses coordinated attack patterns, And he is out in force today. And he slashes at you with this 6-inch retractable claw, like a razor, on the middle toe. He doesn't bother to bite your jugular like a lion, say. No, no. He slashes at you here, or here. Or maybe across the belly, spilling your intestines. Point is, you are alive when they start to eat you. So, you know, try to show a little respect.
Okay.
So I love that Dr. Sadler, his paleobotanist colleague, says, you know, Alan, if you wanted to really scare him, you could have just pulled a gun on the kid. But it's true. So Velociraptor was about the size of, he looked like a turkey. He was the size of a turkey. He was not a 6-foot turkey. He was about the size of a turkey, covered in feathers. Velociraptor was a bipedal feathered carnivore with a long tail and an enlarged sickle-shaped claw on each hind foot, which is thought to have been used to tackle and disembowel prey. So that razor claw on the toe, that's definitely accurate. But the raptor was not 6 feet tall. For the film, they had to obviously make him bigger and more imposing, but he really was about the size of a modern-day turkey. And our last one is Brachiosaurus. I know a lot of attention goes to the carnivores, the meat eaters. They're the glitzy, flashy ones we're all awed by. But Brachiosaurus, I mean, that was the dinosaur that instilled awe in you when you saw Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park is a masterclass in filmmaking, ladies and gentlemen. Spielberg knows how to set the pace just right, how to angle the camera, how to use a wonderful synthesis of practical effects and digital effects. It's a groundbreaking work, and it still holds up. So there's that wonderful scene at the beginning when they enter into Jurassic Park, and they're still not sure what the park is about. They're like, well, what is it about? Dinosaurs? You know, are they audio animatronic? What is this place? And then they see the dinosaurs, and Spielberg doesn't show us the dinosaurs. He shows us the reaction of Jeff Goldblum, of Sam Neill and the other actors seeing the dinosaurs. He shows us seeing them, and they cannot believe what they are seeing. And then it cuts to that wonderful scene of Brachiosaurus. The camera is angled up to give you the perspective of how small the humans are in comparison to Brachiosaurus. Brachiosaurus was somewhere between 59 to 69 feet long, and he weighed somewhere between 30 and 60 short tons. 30 and 60, I guess metric tons are different than regular tons. But here's the scene, and it's going to bring you back the nostalgic goosebumps.
It's a dinosaur. Uh-huh.
You're dead. You crazy son of a bitch, you're dead.
Look at this tear up the rule book on it. Cold-bloodedness, it doesn't apply. They're totally wrong. This is a warm-blooded creature.
This thing doesn't live in a swamp.
This thing's got, what, a 25, 27-foot neck? Brachiosaur 30.
So that line they actually said about tearing up the rule book of seeing that dinosaurs are cold-blooded, that's actually true, that more research has been done to show that dinosaurs, many of the dinosaurs were actually warm-blooded or were some combination of cold and warm-blooded that they could regulate their internal body temperature. Like Velociraptor could do this because the raptor was actually smaller and had the ability to be able to do that. So more about Brachiosaurus, had a disproportionately long neck, of course, small skull, large overall size. This is similar to now Diplodocus. My kids also love Diplodocus. My sons always say he's as long as 3 school buses. That's true. He's even longer than Brachiosaurus, 79 feet long for Diplodocus. Now Jurassic Park's depiction of Brachiosaurus, not entirely accurate. For example, that call, if you remember at the beginning of the clip, you hear like this whale-like call. And there's no evidence they made a call like that. Also, according to a paleontologist, it says its feet are wrong. In the movie, the Brachiosaurus is shown with feet like an elephant. In reality, it had one big claw on the first toe of each front foot and claws on the first 3 toes of its back feet. So, all right, a few other inaccuracies. In the film, when they see the dino droppings, they have to examine the dino droppings to see why the Triceratops is sick. It's a giant, huge pile. Even if other Triceratops shared their pile and all pooed in the same place, it would never get that large. Dilophosaurus, the one that had the neck frills that took out Nedry when he was trying to escape with the DNA samples. The one that took him out, it shoots venom like that paralyzes him and gets in his eyes. There's no evidence that it did that. A lot of paleontologists say that's the most egregious inaccuracy in the film. In Jurassic World, and Jurassic Park 3, you have pterosaurs and pteranodons picking up humans. There's no evidence that they had either the claws to be able to do that. And the smaller ones, I believe were the pteranodons, probably wouldn't have the wingspan to be able to do that or the strength to do so. So I'd like to end, though. I promised my son that he could come on the podcast to share what he likes about dinosaurs and what he's learned, so we will do that. Before I go, we're talking about dinosaurs. I had another nostalgia moment from the 90s. So obviously you had Jurassic Park, but there was another family sitcom on ABC that, you know, if you love dinosaurs, you watch. And that was the television show Dinosaurs. Dinosaurs was an American family sitcom that ran from 1991 to 1994. It was about a group of dinosaurs. It was filmed like a sitcom, and they were puppets. It used the Jim Henson puppet team. And it was a typical television sitcom, but it was placed in the era of the dinosaurs. You know, think about like the Flintstones, where the dinosaurs are anthropomorphic. It's the Sinclair family. Earl Sinclair works for the We Say So Corporation as a tree pusher. And it actually includes a lot of commentary on social issues. There's one where Robbie, the teenage dinosaur, uses something that's basically like steroids. There's one where the teenage daughter deals with sexism and discrimination. So there's a lot of episodes that had cultural commentary. And the series is famous for the last episode. The series finale has cultural commentary indeed. Because what do you do with the television show Dinosaurs? You know the show is being canceled. What do you do in the last episode of the entire series? You make them extinct, right? So in the last episode, there is an infestation of plants. And it happened because the We Say So Corporation, I think, destroyed the home of a bug that usually took care of the plants. So instead of trying the environmentally friendly approach, they end up spraying the earth with this toxin that's supposed to get rid of the plant infestation, but it ends up killing all plant life on Earth. And so they think, okay, what do we do now? Say, oh, I got another idea. We'll use flashy technology. We'll drop bombs in the volcanoes, and that will give us clouds, that will give us rain, that will bring the plants back. But what ends up happening is the volcanoes create a volcanic winter and ushers in an ice age that's going to last for 10,000 years. This is a kid's show, by the way. The end of the episode just shows them huddled in their home, freezing, wearing parkas, wondering what they're going to do, saying, we broke the earth. We're not going to be able to fix it. And them talking about as the snow is coming down outside, this is the end of the series finale for the television show Dinosaurs.
Yeah, and hey, I'm sure it'll all work out okay. After all, dinosaurs have been on this earth for 150 million years. And it's not like we're going to just disappear.
And then everyone just looks at each other with a really sad face. And then the camera pans away from the window, and you just see the snow falling outside. So that's some dark stuff right there. But in any case, now let me transition over to my little guy so he can tell you more about dinosaurs. And now our next guest on the show is our junior paleontologist who's been studying dinosaurs. He's Mr. Matthew Horn. Matthew, thank you for coming on the show today.
Hi.
All right, so let's get started. Matt, what is your favorite dinosaur? What dinosaur do you like the most?
Spinosaurus and Cardamegalodon. Cardamegalodon could kill Spinosaurus, but Spinosaurus would hurt Cardamegalodon.
Okay, so you like Spinosaurus, and our listeners, I actually just told them about Spinosaurus. What's your favorite thing about Spinosaurus?
That it's as big as three elephants, and that it catches prey, and that it's, yeah.
Okay, but you say that it could fight Carcharodon Megalodon. What's Carcharodon Megalodon like? It's like a really big what?
Shark.
Oh, yeah. It's got all those rows of sharp teeth. And so you think Carcharodon Megalodon would beat Spinosaurus?
Yeah, I watched the video of it.
Oh, yeah. I think he would probably take a bite out of him, though they lived about... Did you know, Matthew, that Carcharodon Megalodon lived about 100 million years after Spinosaurus? Did you know that?
Nope.
Well, now you do. So is there any other cool thing about dinosaurs you want to tell all our listeners about?
Hold on, be right back.
Okay, so Matthew, you had to run off and get your dinosaur book. What did you want to tell everyone?
Argentinosaurus is as big as 6 fire trucks.
Oh, Argentinosaurus. He's gigantic. Oh, yeah, he's like a brachiosaur. Do you want to talk about anyone else?
Sure. I'll talk about Velociraptor. I can hold it, okay? Are you okay if I hold it? Okay. So there's this dinosaur. It's kind of like a Velociraptor. And you know something? It's covered in feathers. And it had a long claw for in case people lived with him so it could slice through them. And a tiny lizard and, oh, and Mosasaurus. Mosasaurus, Cardamegalodon could beat Mosasaurus. And you know what, something? Cardamegalodon is at the top of every creature.
Oh, he's at the top of the food chain. He's what we're calling apex predator. All right, Matt. Well, can you say bye to every... Oh, hold on. Yeah, one more.
Dinosuchus. So this creature is long. Dinosuchus is a 40-foot long crocodile, but this snake is even longer than it. Imagine if you saw this creature. It could eat little other crocodiles.
What is the name of that snake?
Titan Aboa. And you know what, how crocodiles hunt? Why, how, when animals come up to the water to drink, they quietly sneak up without even making a sound. Then they jump out and grab them and pull them in the water. But sometimes of Spinosaurus, but not land, Spinosaurus would have a better chance because it has claws and Dinosuchus doesn't. And also, it has a huge jaw.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Matthew, for being on the show today. I think everyone really liked hearing you on Free For All Friday. Can you say bye to everyone?
Bye.
All right. Thank you so much. And I hope you guys enjoyed this. And I hope you all have a very blessed weekend.
If you liked today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.